Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Don Allen with the Ron and Don Show in Studio A, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, we have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight in this hour, the special report. Would you like to go ahead and kick us off?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Allen, and thank you to our good friends at the Blog Radio for once again allowing us a special hour program to deal with what is a dangerous situation presently in the United States of America with regards to the issue of race, if you will, violence, and et cetera. It's our intention, Mr. Allen, in the quick production meetings that we've had in the last 4 or 5 hours, that we're going to be taking a look in the numerical order that tragically it happened. El Paso first, and then we will move over to Dayton, Ohio. And there's information which is not clearly coming out of Dayton that should have, if you will. I know that there have been some probing of your website and et cetera about information that we have put out that a majority of the people shot and killed 9 in Dayton, Ohio were African Americans, and that city is extremely tense as we speak on this program. And of course, our phone lines will be open as usual on the Don and Ron program. But let's take a look at where we're at, Don, starting with El Paso, Texas, where a gunman drove, and this is just tragic, but you know, driven by this much hatred. The gunman drove 600 miles from Allen, Texas, which is just north of Dallas, to El Paso, Texas. That's about a 9-hour drive if you don't stop, you know what I'm saying. And mm-hmm. there he delivered a tragic death blow to those that were at the mall there in El Paso. Of course, a lot of the information is centering on a specific facility, and that's Walmart. But, you know, Walmart was caught up in it because there were so many people shopping at Walmart because across the border, across the Grande is the beginning of school, apparently, tomorrow, the Mexican federal school system, if you will, and people were shopping for items for their children and et cetera when this broke out, if you will. In fact, Don, you have discovered some inconsistency suddenly as it pertains to who this individual really is, what is his affiliation, and et cetera. Could you just share that with our listening audience as we prepare? By the way, as always, the phone lines are open, and we certainly are awaiting any, again, 347-426-3904, or to, excuse me, 347-426-3904. This is the Don and Ron program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, as we look at, and by the way, we must not forget that this is the third mass shooting in 6 days. We started in California, went to El Paso, yes, and wound up as of this very moment in Dayton, Ohio. But go ahead, Mr. Allen. You've discovered some information that seems to be becoming inconsistent with the murder.
Yeah, and Mr. Edwards, you know, the production team, you know, they went and did some research, and by the direction of you know us, and so what we found were that there are profiles on different online sites of almost everybody in the United States, irregardless of if you use the internet or not. They can type in your name and pull up basic information about you. And so production team came out, and when they first got this person's name, there was a website, and I'm not going to slander or defame anybody, and I'm also, as an academic person and as a journalist, I'm going to say that this might not be authentic, or factual, but it's on a website that is reputable and you pay a fee, and I guess lawyers use this website. But anyway, okay. When we first pulled up the website, it says Patrick, 21 years old, and from Allen, Texas. Patrick's political affiliation is currently a registered to the Democratic Party. Now, I'm reading from the particular website. 24 hours after the team saw this, we checked that particular website again, and with the help of some other people on social media who were keeping me updated, they said, hey, after the shooting, look at what it says. It says, Patrick's political affiliation, 24 hours after the shooting, Caucasian, registered as a Republican, religious views listed as Christian, member of the NRA, and a couple other things there. But it did not, it changed from day to night, Mr. Edwards. And it's very interesting because what I'm trying to find out is who is trying to control the narrative on this, where this is coming from, and why was this young man arrested with love and care? That's my concern.
Those, Mr. Allen, are the questions that I'm receiving by my communications network from around the country and overseas. And again, we welcome our international audience on this. When the team notified me that this had been discovered and that they were reviewing this with you, because we were working on some other pieces because of the late-breaking story out of Dayton, if you will, Dayton, Ohio, and we were following up on the disturbing number of African Americans who were shot and killed early this morning in Dayton, Ohio, and we'll be talking about that as we go into phase two of the examination of what the heck is happening in this country. Also, Mr. Allen, your team discovered an interesting pattern also, and we were vetted, if you will, by our friends in the Midwest, that all of a sudden we were hearing that this was all predicated upon mental health problems.
Yes, Mr. Edwards, exactly. And another thing I would like to interject in there, it was really interesting this morning because social media and different websites were really abuzz about this, that certain people on certain networks throughout Facebook in the United States specifically weren't being able to post comments or pictures or information or even their opinion about the shooting in El Paso.
One lady
sent me a direct message. She said, Mr. Allen, I really wanted to get this the screenshot to you, but I can't load it on my page, so I'm going to have to send it through a different means.
Wow.
I said, that is unheard of, Mr. Edwards. That is unheard of. So, you know, I'm looking at everything, and I'm trying not to be a conspiracy theorist at all whatsoever, but I see some false flag games going on, and I'll leave it at that.
Yes, and if you would, Mr. Allen, just kind of explain that kind of new, even though it's been in the dictionary for a long time, that new the strategy that is all of a sudden being used to again change the content and the narrative and everything else. That flag piece that is predicated upon what kind of doctrine?
Okay. I'm going to give the capsulized version. When someone says a false flag, and I'll go back in history from a book that I actually read called Conspiracy Theory in America, and it's very good. It's by Lance DeHaven Smith, written back in 2013. But the term false flag originally referred to the pirate ships that flew into countries as disguised to prevent their victims from fleeing or preparing for battle. And the flag would remain, blame the attack, be laid incorrectly on another country, even though they was from the same country, just flew kind of a different flag there. And it organizes an attack on themselves and make the attacks appear to be by enemy nations or terrorists, thus giving the nation that was supposedly attacked a pretext for domestic repression and foreign military aggression. So
yeah.
I'm looking at this guy, this picture of the dude in back of the squad car. I'm looking for black eyes, beaten head, or something, because he's alive. I don't see a scratch on him, Mr. Edwards. I really don't.
No, no. And we have video in our research, and I understand Carl is waiting to get through to us. They actually sent a team into Texas. Do you know if they were taking him to the squad car, he was being handled only by one officer? That is now on all quote unquote universal websites, and I thought, wow, that's fascinating, given how many innocent people and babies and et cetera he shot, killed, wounded, and et cetera. I'm not sure, if you will, but I do know that our friends in the Midwest have discovered something that it was made known to me yesterday around 4 o'clock. That the Mexican government is not playing the usual way with the United States, and I think we'll be getting some feedback on that. But if we have our friends from the Midwest, let's shoot them in. There are some questions, and we want to give appropriate consideration to the situation in Dayton, particularly in light again of the disproportionate number of African Americans who were shot and killed. And we don't even begin to know how many of them were wounded last night in downtown Dayton, Ohio. Do we have that caller with us at this point?
We have Steve from the Midwest. You're live on the Ron and Don Show. Go ahead. And welcome.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. I was just calling your previous discussion about false flag and how this gentleman was handled in his arrest. I don't know if you remember how Dylan Roof, did you see the video of how Dylan Roof was handled, how gently he was handled when he was arrested?
Yes.
Yeah, that
yes.
was very...
On the highway just outside in North Carolina. Yes, it's like a little baby. It's like a little baby.
Yeah, that's very curious. I had a question for Mr. Edwards, you being a historian. Where is the black community right now? I mean, as far as these issues are going with the violence and everything directed toward the black community or peoples of color generally, I mean, where are we historically in the United States right now?
Well, historically, sir, in my professional estimation, we're in trouble. The due diligence part that we should have been intensifying, the due diligence and bringing ourselves up to speed, has basically been lost. But part of that also has been brought about because the United States government, be it Donald Trump or Barack Obama or Bush, has spent all of its time and tremendous resources, valuable resources, on looking at the little brown people, in other words, the Muslim world and etc. And I heard a lot of conversation, and it was a lot of chatter, particularly yesterday. It was a little lesser today, and I think because people are shell-shocked behind what happened in Dayton, Ohio. But one of the things that has come out in the last 24 hours is that MSNBC had a former FBI counter-terrorist expert, and this guy really got into it. And in fact, I'll tell both of you the time that it happened. It happened around 2 p.m. on Ali Bursi. And this guy said, well, you know, what you need to understand, Ali, he said, is that about 5 months ago, the experts in the operations that deal with intercepts and things like that, broke the code of white supremacists and identified how they were communicating, and they had done a beautiful job of you know, displaying and falsifying, and maybe that goes to the thing about the flag, the cryptic, the cryptization, if you will, and had been found to have been in secret chat rooms talking in terms of murder, homicide, if you will, genocide, bombings, and et cetera. The Trump administration had been keeping that information from the broader-based American public. And I think that that's the reason yesterday afternoon that NSA and others were caught so far off guard and only had about 24 minutes to deal with the posting that came out of nowhere and said there will be a event. And, of course, they're not sharing it by and large with the general public because it raises serious questions about how well these guys are doing, these white nationalists and et cetera. And I'm telling you, they're really putting it together, and I think you're going to find out that there was more than just a coincidence in between El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. And so to your question, we in Black America are in big trouble because, unfortunately, we have nothing approaching the technical means to keep up with these guys. We have people like my associate, Mr. Allen, and maybe yourself and others. See, I'm not a computer, quote-unquote, person, if you will. I have individuals who are persons, who are computer experts, security analysts, and et cetera. But we need an entire institution. And I'll tell you, if I could, and I spoke with Steve with some of your staff a couple hours ago, the Mexican government, gentlemen, particularly my associate, Mr. Allen, the Mexican government peaked the whole card of what was going on in that soft arrest of the assassin, the white supremacist, the murderer in El Paso. The Mexican government, and I understand, Steve, that you have garnered additional information in the last couple of hours that the Mexican government has indicated the following, if you would, to the American government.
Yeah, they at this point they're talking about some type of legal action toward the American government, and also the extradition of this young man to Mexico. If it meets certain criteria in their legal system, and it's the I guess it's the foreign minister.
Yes, that's who it would be.
Yeah, right. So this is having like really international implications now with this.
Well,
I find interesting. Yeah.
We know that yesterday afternoon, at some point in time, the Mexican government, obviously utilizing their intelligence services, which operate within the United States, just like the United States operates within Mexico, had discovered some things that bothered them, and the foreign minister of Mexico summoned the American ambassador to Mexico to actually give them an early indication that there would be significant inquiry, because the Mexican government was already getting the numbers, which was fascinating, of how many Mexican, both Mexican Americans and Mexican nationals had been injured, killed, and et cetera. And by the way, and I know, Steve, your people are in the El Paso area. Have they recovered and removed all the bodies there, particularly at Walmart, to the best of your knowledge, sir?
Not to my knowledge, they haven't. The last I heard, they were still there, and they're still processing the crime scene. They're saying it's a massive crime scene there. So they're still, and apparently there are a lot of people who don't know about their loved ones yet, who are missing, don't know what's happened to them.
I'm hearing the same thing. My associate, Mr. Allen, has been seeing the same thing, particularly those of you who are on top of your game with regards to computer science probing and et cetera. They say it is a terrible scene inside of the Walmart. Okay. We don't want to leave anything, and I know my associate, Mr. Allen, has some questions. Bring us up to speed, if you will, on what we are hearing in Dayton, Ohio, because we have checked with sources there, and it is scary, the number of African-Americans, of the nine that were killed. Our sources indicate that six of them were African-Americans, which meant in a 26-second gun battle that the individual who is now deceased, if you will, Mr. Butts, if I believe his name correctly, was a heck of an expert shooter. See, that would be my take. And Mr. Allen and I a couple hours ago were saying, wow, this guy was a hell of a sharpshooter. Do you have anything new from any of your people around the country?
Well, the only thing, I mean, during the press conference and the like, they were talking about that this individual, along with his sister and several other people, were arrived at this this area, this downtown area. They arrived together in the same car, and at some point during the evening, they broke up. And the only thing I can speculate is he went back. He must have had all this, the guns and everything in the car, maybe in the trunk, went back to the car and got his equipment, his guns and his body armor, and then came back. So I'm not exactly, I mean, people have kind of speculated really that he may have been angry or something at, I'll just put it out there, maybe his sister may have been dating a black man or something. I don't know. I mean, but there's been a lot of speculation toward that end. I'll put it that way.
Mr. Allen, any observations? And if you would, could either one of you gentlemen check the computer and see if you can access the Dayton, Ohio Police Department's website, because the nine names are there, and in listening to the press conference and monitoring the press conference this afternoon, one of the things they did that was rather interesting, they gave the name, they gave the sex or gender, and they gave the race. And that's how we began to determine that, surprisingly, given the short time that this individual had an opportunity to open fire, maybe about 22, 23 seconds, because they are continuously, Mr. Allen, correct, they're praising the Dayton Police Department for its quick action. And yet in a 23-second firefight, this man was able to kill nine people and specifically was able to identify six African-Americans to die in that 23-second period, if you will. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy here was a heck of a shooter. And it's interesting also, gentlemen, and certainly if you would respond, is that both individuals came with other paraphernalia, which allegedly we're not supposed to talk about, and that is they had, earplugs, they had goggles, if you will, so that, you know, their eyes wouldn't be injured in case there was a bad recoil of the weapon being fired. One was firing an AK-47, the other one was firing a .223 semi-automatic, which is constructed along the same lines as a AK-47. And that's ironic, too, that they were dressed in such a way consistent. I assume that they, you know, probably got out of the book, right, gentlemen? I mean, one of those magazines, you know, All Americans or whatever magazine, because they came ready, no doubt about it. One of them capitulated, and I'm not sure that that's not a part of the plan to put him on trial and let him really fire up the base. In the case of the gentleman in Dayton, it was quite clear that, and by the way, he had two 100 bullet drums. He had a lot of firepower. If he would have gotten into that bar we would probably have 60 or 70 or 80 people dead. But Mr. Allen, any questions, reflections that you have that we talked about in the production meeting?
Yeah, Mr. Edwards, on the Dayton, Ohio website, the people that were killed in Dayton was Lois L. Oglesby, 27,
what?
Derek Fudge, 57, Logan Turner,
what?
30, Nicholas
what?
T. Cummer, 25, James J. McNichols, 25, Beatrice N. Warren, hyphen Curtis, 36, Saeed
what?
Chalet, 38,
what?
And Monica Brickstone, 39. Six of those shot
what?
And killed were black. We were white, including Mrs. Beth, the shooter's sister.
There you go again.
Right
could
there.
You please, Mr. Allen, could you read those names again for our listening public around the world and in the United States of the African Americans that were shot down, and there's been an attempt. I know that Steve and his people were saying the same thing, but you've gone into the computer quickly, accessed. Could you read those names so that we can memorialize the names of those African Americans gunned down in Dayton, Ohio this morning? Would you please read them again?
Sure. 27-year-old Lois Oldsby, 57-year-old Derek R. Fudge, Logan Turner, 39, Nicholas P. Cummer, 25, Thomas McNichols, 25, Beatrice N. Warren, hyphen Curtis, 36, Saeed Chali, 38, and Monica Brickhouse, 39. Six of those were shot were black, and three were white.
Yes.
And one of the three was Peter's sister.
And yes,
one.
Was his sister. Yes, yes.
Crazy.
Steve,
crazy,
this,
dude.
Crazy. Yeah. Steve, like we could ask you, is that consistent with the intel that your people have been gathering inside of Texas?
Inside of Texas?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the team in there and you getting information,
oh.
Hearing things.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Yeah, now that, I'm sorry,
okay.
that is it, when
or
I say inside of
Dayton.
Texas and other places around the country, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had a question, too, because you had something about possible compounds and the like. These right-wing compounds around the country?
There has been a lot of chatter and communication, and that's where the Texas thing came into play because some cryptic messages have gone out indicating the need now to move to try to shift it away from the Latino Hispanics. Because right now, Dayton, Ohio is maybe close to a state of emergency. Dayton has a pretty large black population, if you will, for a mid-sized city, and it's always been a pretty, aggressive community, and et cetera. So anyways, the postings that have come from are Sandpoint, Idaho, which is one of the more significant training facilities for the white fascist neo-Nazis, and Mars, North Carolina. Mars, North Carolina is in that area of the long part of North Carolina adjacent to the so-called Smoky Mountains, the area that Dylan Roof, the murderer of the African Americans at the black church in Charleston, North Carolina. And the reason I asked about the names coming out of Dayton. And was that tying in to what was happening? And I maybe wasn't as clear as I should have been in Texas, because I noticed that there are so many dead in Texas that they just aren't even bothering to post the names.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I'm not sure that they have actually notified the next of kin of everyone in Texas at the moment, from what I understand. They're still trying to contact family members.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Must assume that in Dayton, those African Americans that Mr. Allen has identified. And by the way, I was troubled, gentlemen. Maybe either one of you could help me. I was troubled by the fact that there've been five press conferences in Dayton. Okay. And we are African Americans, and we want to make sure that people have the proper respect and compassion for the troubling number of African Americans gunned down last night, or actually early this morning in downtown the downtown Dayton. I'm trying to get a feel on why. Did either one of you see or hear any quotes from any black elected officials in Dayton? I mean, do they have any black elected officials? Because I didn't see nary single. Now, I saw a group calling themselves the Police Council, but these were primarily citizens and primarily ministers who are involved with a group, just like our Civil Rights Department, Mr. Allen. Commissioners. I mean, commissioners, you know. But, you know, I just don't understand. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Let me just say this. There's two things. First of all, our flagship agencies and our elected officials, you know, just like the NAACP, okay, you guys cannot, speaking to the NAACP National, you guys cannot text stuff on social media, on Twitter, and think that you've messaged everybody in the United States. You're not at that point. But you don't see any press conferences from local or national offices. You don't see the Congressional Black Caucus out front saying anything. And I'm not a politician. I would never be a politician. But I'm saying, if I was, Mr. Edwards, if critical things, and you too, and Steve, if critical things like this happened in our community, that we did not address head on and try to find a solution, then you'd be selling out your community. You know, and I think that we have a consistent flow of people that are happy where they are. They stay there all their life in our community. They don't pull anybody up. And they don't know the history. And the ones that don't know the history that are the oldest are the ones they put out front. And it's killing us. And you guys have to agree with me. You know, this is a rotten shame. I'm looking at the ballistics report, or trying to find a ballistics report for the guy in El Paso and the guy in Dayton. You know, if the guy in El Paso used that .223, I think you said, Mr. Edwards, Remington, you know, I want to know.
That was in Dayton. That was the .223 is in Dayton. AK-47
okay.
is in El Paso. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the .223. I want to know if he's using Swift grain, 75 grain. I want to know if the kind of bullet, you know, the Hornady 60 grain, these different bullets. Because if he goes in there just with the bullet with the intent, you know, one shot is going to blow people away. And like you said earlier in the show about 20 minutes ago, Mr. Edwards, and we talked about in the production meeting, to kill that many people that quick, he was a crack shot, and he had the best bullet.
Yes, he did. He had the best. Yes, he did. He had the best ammunition. No doubt about it. Let me just also include, because I had mentioned this to Steve's teams that are working this. It's eerie because the .223 automatic. Because the question came up at the press conference with the mayor and the. Two United States senators from Ohio, one Democrat, one Republican. And I'll be doggone that they confirmed that. Now, normally they try to keep that information suppressed, that the .223 in the Dayton massacre was bought online in Texas and shipped to Ohio, and then was picked up by the deceased, the gunman, the white terrorist, and he picked that weapon up. He also had just acquired a very powerful shotgun. But that is just in itself is eerie, that the gun that maimed, and actually they wounded more people in Dayton than is at least being told to us now, as it pertains to El Paso, because at least 27 people were wounded and injured, quote unquote, in Dayton, and nine killed. Though I did hear, I don't know if it was a slip, as it pertains to the announcer and et cetera, about 3 hours ago, saying that a 10th person had died in Dayton. And that may have been the person that was being identified as critical. I guess I'm just puzzled. You know, NAACP, maybe not so much in El Paso, even though El Paso has a large black military population, by the way. Keep that in mind. But I would have thought in a sophisticated place like Dayton, Ohio, that we would have certainly seen the NAACP and even the Urban League, because Dayton also does have an Urban League. You would have thought that they would have been standing with the mayor, but I think, and y'all, you know, correct me if you think I'm too far over the line, I think that the reason that they were trying to minimize the African-American casualties is, I understand, gentlemen, that the African-American population in Dayton, Ohio, is in excess of 30%.
Wow.
And so that means you got a pretty big black population in Dayton, and if that many black people, and they were, are shot and killed by a gunman who clearly was selecting black people, you got him in Dayton, and you got the surrendering gunman who turned out to be a coward in El Paso killing all of the Hispanic Latino people. You know, and we started out this program, Mr. Allen and I did, by indicating that tonight in America, we've got a problem. We've got a real problem. White nationalists are on the move, and there's no telling how many people of color they have killed just this year alone. We've got, you know, right here in our own city, Steve, we have too many cold cases, if you know what I mean. Too many African-American young men primarily, but you know, of all persuasion, being found laying dead in the middle of the street. Shots from spotters go off. Police get there. Negro is dead. But nobody has ever apprehended. In fact, we just had that night before last. You know, we've had 25 shootings. Kind of makes you wonder. We've had 25 shootings here in Minneapolis and another 15 or 20 in St. Paul. We only have a couple of individuals in custody. So there's something going on, gentlemen. There's something going on.
Yeah.
I think the Civil War has started. That's my take, gentlemen. I'd like to get your views.
Hey, Mr. Edwards and Steve here, and we have some more calls. I just want to say this real quick. You're talking about Minneapolis. You know, shootings have been going on for a while, but since April 10th, 2018, you know, we've had gunfire consistently. So August 22nd, 2019 is going to mark the 500th day of continuous gunfire in Minneapolis.
Wow. All right, let us thank Steve and his people for taking the time. And again, appreciation to your personnel who are looking at evidence, particularly out of Texas. Everybody's trying now to work the Dayton, Ohio situation. You know, we all are awaiting our president, who will speak to the nation at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, John.
Yeah.
I like to wait.
It'll be.
I don't hear a lot of enthusiasm in any of our voices.
Yeah. Well, he's going to take the mental illness angle, I guess, and it'll be interesting to see if he talks about racism, bigotry, white supremacy, and all that. That'll be interesting.
Let me say before we let you totally go, we don't want to, you know, we have people. I was rather disturbed during most of the day today because I really saw that in Dayton, Ohio, and I saw the Republican folks that were up on the stage, because actually there was only one Democrat, that's Senator Brown of Ohio, Democrat. Yeah, this thing about the angle, I'm not sure. I know that Mr. Allen has been doing some research and et cetera. Man, the issue of mental illness, and here's what I would say, gentlemen, and I'd like to get both of your responses. How can we say, and the president's already stumbled around and said it, how can you say that both of these men, one deceased, one alive, one who's going to be a showcase in the trial, how can we say that they have a mental health problem when they've not been examined? Can either one of you explain that to me? Just help me out.
No, no, I can't. I can't explain other than deflection. Other than deflection, that's because you know, is white supremacy a mental illness, or is it evil, or is it both? I mean, is because that's what we're talking about. I think. I think that's the main issue here. In the,
it,
I mean, I think.
Evil,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, was all of Nazi Germany, were they all evil? I mean, I think they were they all mentally ill, or were they all evil? I think they were just evil. You know, so.
And I think that's a good question on Nazi Germany,
yeah.
But to our Jewish friend.
Yeah.
Steve, again, want to thank you and your
okay.
personnel.
All right.
And we'll probably be catching up with you. But thank you again for,
okay.
for joining
okay,
us
thank
on
you.
This special hour. All right. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you
Ms.
very
Callen,
much. All
here,
right.
Sir.
All right.
What do we have?
Caller 1612. Oh, you're live on the air. Oh, caller.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, you're live on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello? Yes, is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
Yes, that's you, madam. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go
okay.
On
my
here.
Apologies.
Go
my apologies.
There.
Yes. No, just a couple of points. One is that, you know, I think, and you folks have certainly talked about this, the need to point back to the kind of fiery rhetoric that the current administration is launching near constantly is, of course, what's, you know, making what's facilitating these people coming forward and, you know, their racist attacks on people. And I think that's really clear. But I don't know if people know that in El Paso, after the Walmart shooting, people were gathering at a nearby elementary school to try to find their loved ones and so forth. And ICE actually showed up at that elementary school and started checking people for their documentation. So to me, this is, again, just another kind of attack by this same administration on people who are, you know, attempting to simply find their loved ones. I mean, this is like just the kind of blatant fascism that I think is so outrageous. And I think people really, really need to know about this. This kind of attribution of toward mental illness and all that is nonsensical. As your previous speaker said, you know, how do they know these people were never tested? But, you know, the man in El Paso put a racist manifesto up on the internet, for heaven's sakes. So I think it's pretty clear where he was coming from, and it seems to be pretty clear for this Dayton individual as well. And so I think it's very problematic when people try to attribute all of this to mental illness. Most of the people that suffer from mental illness won't really harm themselves and no one else. And this is not coming from mental illness. This is coming from a place that's encouraged and incentivized by the current sitting president of the United States.
All right. Thank you, madam. Appreciate it. Because you're, as far as I'm concerned, I can only speak for myself. You're really on point. You're on point. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And I would never argue with girls, ever. Thank you. No, I just was telling Ms. Girls I would never argue with you. Okay? I can agree to disagree. Thank you for that. Anyway, Ms. Edwards, Ms. Groves also did say something that was very interesting because, you know, if you look at this, that manifesto that the gentleman wrote was not just put up on the web. And if you know anything about the internet and technology and big data and those type things, you
mm-hmm.
look at this and you're going like, why doesn't the law enforcement have an algorithm to detect this type of information? They have information to detect everything else. You know, they have information to detect anything else, everything else. But when it comes to this, I mean, even if this guy put this up, say, 2 weeks ago, there should have been technology in place, which there is. I'll just be flat out, there is, that will track this and alert the proper authority. So where is this information or the system of information stopping? You know, this actually could have been, I think, aborted. Because you get someone writing something that crazy, you check them. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Irwin.
No, I'm concurring. I agree with you because I'm hearing from sources that the authorities clearly knew, if you will, as example, that they could surveil the particular sites in El Paso where people were being encouraged to go to wait to see if their loved ones had survived the carnage. The ICE, you know, immigration, the customs, base enforcement, they sure knew enough. They had intercepted enough messages and et cetera. They knew to show up as the last caller, and Mrs. Gross said, they certainly knew how to come in and start telling people, we need to see your papers. You know what I mean? And you're absolutely correct. And I don't know how many times I've heard the testimony as pertains like major drug trials and et cetera, where the authorities talk in terms of how they, you know, broke the code, broke the back, you know, the communications and et cetera, their expertise, how well they technically knew how to do what they had to do. They intercepted all kinds of messages, codes, et cetera. That's why it was so shocking to hear the former head of counterterrorism for the FBI yesterday at 2 o'clock on MSNBC indicate, oh, yeah, well, they finally broke the code, the cryptic codes, and et cetera. And it's remindful of what it was like leading up to the Second World War, where the Japanese codes had been broke. They sure knew where to go and who was there, you know what I'm saying? But this guy, this murderer, who turned out to be more of a coward than he was pretending to be, you know, posted something, again, 24 minutes, Mr. Allen, before his carnage. And yet, you know, they pretended that they weren't able to get on top of these people, get on top of stuff. I've watched them operate from Fort Huachuca, from Fort Meade. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just checking the caller.
From
go ahead,
from the sprinkling, they have a hell of a facility in southern Utah. I know that Steve and his personnel and some of us are very much aware of it, because they like to sit right on top, particularly of the neo-Nazi communications network coming out of Sandpoint, Idaho, if you will. I mean, hey, these guys, if they want information, they can get it, okay? And I'm just not understanding how this happened, that even with 24 minutes advance notice, that they couldn't track it down. I'm a little puzzled about it.
I agree
ahead,
100%, Mr. Edwards. We have more callers, Mr. Edwards. I'd like to get to those. We have about 12 minutes left in this hour special report.
Oh, my God. Let's
caller left.
I apologize.
Caller, 8174. You're live on the
me?
Go ahead. That be you.
Is that me? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
yes.
A couple of things. One, as far as mental illness or racism, whatever, to me, it's one and the same. You can't – actually, it doesn't really matter if it was a mental illness. I mean – racism is a mental illness, if you want to call it that. So that's a irrelevant point. Second, I'm wondering, did you guys hear, because initially I thought I heard it reported in Ohio that this was not racial, but all indications seemed like it was. But did you ever hear any press conference, any authorities saying that, okay, maybe this was racial now in Ohio?
No, I've heard, I've been monitoring it closely for our team here,
mm-hmm.
as well as the gentleman that called in from the Midwest. That's interesting. That's a doggone good question. Because they seem to be really straining now in Ohio, and part of the information that's flowing back to us here is that Dayton, Ohio, because of the disproportionate number of African Americans shot and killed this morning, is on high alert.
Mm-hmm.
So to your question, no. I was rather disappointed to watch them attempt to stay away from that it was both racially motivated, it was terroristic, and et cetera. And particular Senator Portman went to talking about mental illness. I certainly concur with you, sir, that as what the other caller said, well, and that meant that Germany should have never been, quote-unquote, retooled. But that's our response. But to your specific question, nope. Now, maybe by tomorrow morning or something, with further information from the investigative entities like the FBI and et cetera, maybe somebody will have the guts to stand up and say that this was clearly mostly racially motivated. But at this hour, nope.
Okay, and then lastly, back to the El Paso. Now, I heard 3 Mexicans were killed. Were there more than 3 and the other 27 were white or not?
Oh, 27? No. You're going to find out that basically all those people,
were Mexican?
When they get through counting the bodies in Walmart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard that same misstatement, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It carries no juice whatsoever. But what they're going to do to us as a nation is spoon feed it. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, by the way, that's the reason that the Mexican government has put the United States government on notice that they are exploring a legal action as it pertains to dealing with the killer and any Confederates or associates that he may have had with him in the situation in El Paso.
All right. Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. All right, now we're probably not going to last minute. Man, this special program went quickly. My God. Okay.
Yeah, we have about 9 minutes, Mr. Edwards, and we have another caller, but you were just talking about Senator Robert Portman, who asserted that no law can fix the fundamental mental and spiritual problems that lead people to murder. Just what you said, that has reported in the Washington Examiner. But we do have another caller who's been holding for a minute or two here. Caller 384, you're live on the air. Go ahead. Mr. M, you're live on the air.
Oh, okay, gentlemen, thank you. Very, very good program as usual, in depth. You know, and I know you've touched on this, but I'm wondering, you know what, Mr. Allen, you know, this is kind of directed at you. I mean, why is the silence of your president? You know, your president just, you know, with this amount of carnage, this amount of just fearful back-to-back, you know, the only response I heard him say was, oh, we're going to do something. I'll take care of it, you know. No plan, no nothing, just cavalierly.
Well,
I mean, this is very,
I mean,
so I'm very, 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 I'm curious about your take on that, Mr. Allen.
Give me a question that I talked about with Mr. Edwards in the production meeting. Let's start with 2008, first black president. People lost their mind. Both black and white, more white people. Then you wonder, you know, President Trump gets into office. Now, President Trump wasn't a racist when he was hanging out with Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, and all them other folks back in the day. You know, but when the minute he became president, all of a sudden he's a racist. So
of course, because he slams everything is Obama's fault.
Okay.
Everything's Obama's fault. This health care is Obama's fault. Yeah, he's a racist. It's obvious.
But listen here, I'm going from the point of journalistic integrity and being objectionable or objective, I should say, and looking at the whole thing. As a veteran, I'm not gonna disrespect the office of the President of the United States. But what I am going to say is that, yeah, there is some big problems. But what I'm concerned about and my focus is not amplified by the mainstream Fourth Estate, which has everybody hyped up. 2016, they told the whole nation that Hillary Clinton was going to be the president from July to November 7th. And they're kind of carrying the same now. But my point is that, yeah, I understand there's some challenges. There's some systemic challenges that are political. But I'm not going to tie these two idiots to the president of the United States. I'm going to tie the messaging that these people are getting and where that real message is coming from.
Well,
you got to be able to look between the lines.
You can't blame the president for, you know, these acts that have just happened, these heinous acts. But you can blame him for not coming out and being against it. You can blame him for not coming out and being very forceful and saying, we're not tolerating this anymore. And if we have to change gun laws, if we have to put more security to keep our people safe, we are going to do it, and we're going to work on this right now. So he is culpable for not having a response, my perspective.
Maybe we could have gun laws like they have in Chicago across the United States. That might work.
What gun laws are those, Mr. Allen?
Chicago has some of the toughest
gun laws.
I
know they got in Chicago.
law is just words on a paper. I mean, until things are enforced. See, this is the whole thing. I mean, the Constitution is a great document. All men are created equal. But until these things are enforced, well, it's just a piece of paper. And see, and this is what the problem is. You know, yeah, certain people, you know, guns, you have the right to defend yourself. Everybody has that right. I believe that. But do you have the right to go into a public place and just blow everybody away because you want to? See, this is where the problem comes in. And we need a president and we need a government that's willing to stand up to that and show the people that this is not something, you're not going to do this. But I just don't see any blowback.
Well, are you, Mr. M, comfortable with Kamala Harris in the White House in 2020? Or 2021.
No, I am comfortable with anybody but the person that's in there now. I'm comfortable actually with Bernie.
I mean, I'm just asking
and
you questions. I'm trying to find out
because he has a great message.
You can jump out.
His problem is
you can jump out
of racism. He's Jewish.
Quickly.
He's Jewish.
You
so,
gentlemen, you sound like what has become the national debate. Both of you gentlemen, but all of us. I'm going to be watching with great interest tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Maybe this man, Mr. M, will surprise us and will make some of those statements.
I doubt it.
But I know this. We have gone basically over the edge as it pertains to a nation that has some kind of safety net. We got to remember, with all deference and memorializing all the people who just died at the beginning of this past week, we started out with mass shooting in California. Then it went to El Paso, and then it came up to Dayton, Ohio. I'm just worried that this thing shoot all the way out of control because, if you've been monitoring the websites of the neo-Nazis and et cetera, they are pumped up, okay?
Yeah.
And I understand what Mr. Allen is saying, Brother M. Is that our leadership better get on the stick, and so I'm going to be listening closely. But our responsibility here as media is to at least keep the information flowing to you, because there's been a lot of funny things said today.
And I know the gentleman you have to go, but I would like to just quickly bring it back to the Minneapolis area. I did see an article that a gentleman by the name of Bill English has put together a jobs program. Have any of you gentlemen heard anything about that here in the Twin Cities?
Yes, we have. I think Mr. Allen has some specific information that he came across as it pertains to Mr. English and a young lady. In fact, we saw them at one of our heat response here about 2 weeks ago when we were trying to figure out what the hush-hush meeting was about. Mr. Allen, you want to deal with that, or what Mr. English said he's going to do?
I'm going to actually save that for this upcoming Saturday show at 9:30 a.m. Saturday morning. I think that'll be
all
better,
right,
where I can have more than 2 minutes to hash this all out. We actually have 1 minute and 50 seconds to the show.
All right.
We
invite you to join
Saturday.
Us. We look forward. Yeah, because we do have, Mr. Allen specifically, has the information about the so-called jobs that are supposed to be in an abundance for African Americans. Thank you, my brother. And we'll be looking for you to give us a call on Saturday morning. All right. Mr. Allen?
Thank you, Mr. M. Mr. M, I'd just like to say one more quick thing here before, folks got to start really looking critical at what's going on. We have 1 minute and 12 seconds left of the show, but I just wanted to get this in because I haven't heard much of anything from our black leadership. The danger signals are out there, and I'm not saying walk around scary, but I'm saying you need to be frosty. And our leadership, our flagship agencies, aren't coming forward and saying a thing. In 46 seconds, Mr. Edwards, I mean, what do we do?
Well, let me say one of the things that has happened, and it was kind of interesting, that suddenly the Minneapolis Police Department announced a couple hours ago a heavy presence of police downtown tonight to protect those who are enjoying the good life. I find that interesting. They certainly responded to the turmoil and the anarchy and et cetera that's sweeping across the nation. I just hope that Minneapolis and St. Paul are not on the enemy's list. And Mr. Allen, I think it was a good program. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Saturday at 9:30.
Just as you, as it takes you eyes to make a path.